You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, one of the hosts on the show, and I'm looking forward to a great program where tonight we are talking about priorities, how to live by them, set them, how can we help, if you're in kids ministry, how to help families work and set priorities in their life, how to help kids learn to set godly priorities. And so I think this will be a fun adventure and a great discussion to talk through on this episode of the KMC podcast. And so with me tonight are two awesome friends of mine, Sarah Bundy. And how are you, Sarah?
Doing great tonight, Tom. Thank you.
Awesome. It's good to have you on. I'll have you tell a little bit more about yourself in just a second. And Wayne Stocks, it's good to have you back on the podcast, my friend.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, each of you take a second. Sarah, you start. We'll go ladies first. Tell us where you're at and where you're ministering, that kind of thing.
Sure. I am here in New Hampshire at Connect Community Church. We're right on the seacoast. And I've been there as full-time children's pastor going on 5 years now. So it's been an awesome journey.
How about you, Wayne?
I'm about as landlocked as you can get here in Columbus, Ohio. I've worked in children's ministry as a volunteer for the last 5, 6, 7 years. I've lost track now. I've run a ministry called Divorce Ministry for Kids, and we minister to children who come from divorced and broken homes.
Awesome. Well, like I said, guys, we're going to talk priorities tonight, and or in this episode, I should say. May not be night when somebody's listening to this, so I should stop saying that. But what you get, what you see, what you get on our episodes. But we're talking priorities because, you know, lately, especially even in the news, in the kid ministry world and the ministry world itself, we've heard a lot about pastors who have stepped down because they allowed priorities to get out of whack and they allowed themselves to get burned out. And this is something that's become a passion of mine to help pastors and those in ministry to stay away from those kind of things. And I do believe that one of the big reasons is because we allow ourselves to get skewed on our priorities, or it's easy to say, well, God, family, ministry, but oftentimes we put ministry first, and or at least second, and it becomes a dangerous thing. And so, let's talk about. I would love to get your guys' impression on why do you think ministry priorities, life priorities are so important to set. So Wayne, why don't you kick us off?
And I think priorities sort of serve as the framework, right, for how we move forward. And so I think it's easy to talk in generalities. You know, we want to honor God. We want to teach kids. But when we start to talk about what our real priorities are, that gets at how we're going to do that. Right. You know, what are we going to prioritize to meet those goals? I think it's easy to talk in those generalities, but when you start to formulate a list of priorities and how do I get to that goal, I think that really starts to narrow your focus. And you know, so you don't sort of get lost on your way to where you're trying to go.
Good. Sarah, thoughts?
Echo Wayne there. I mean, if we don't have a vision of what we're doing, not only in, you know, in ministry, but with our lives in general, then what's the point, really? We can generalize it. Oh, well, the whole God family ministry thing. But if we don't have some kind of a plan, then obviously lining up with the Lord's plan. You know, you understand what I'm saying. What's the point? You know, why are you even attempting to minister to others if you don't know where you're going yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, when I look at priorities and why they're so important, I feel like, you know, it has to be more than words. It has to be more than what's on a piece of paper. But it really has to be part of who you are, that, you know, because sometimes we get so wrapped up. And I think one of the reasons why priorities are important is because it keeps you from losing your identity of who it really is, that I'm a child of God first. Mm-hmm. And that is my first and foremost relationship that I need to keep in place. And that life is more than just ministry. And I think oftentimes when I see and when I've counseled other ministers that have burned out, or are on the verge of burnout, I think that's part of it, is they've lost themselves, and who, what they do has become, who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, after we've been talking, we discover they don't have real clear priorities in their life. They may have goals set. They're good at goal setting and they do the SMART goals and all that kind of stuff, but they haven't set priority in their life of how they're going to accomplish. Just like Wayne said, I agree with you. It's how you're going to live. Mm-hmm. And it helps you function in day-to-day things and getting things done. If you know what your priorities are, you're not going to get sidetracked. And I think that's really important for us to get a part of. So,
I want to ask about sort of what you guys think top priorities should be. But before I do that, I want to throw a curveball at you.
All right.
Do you think that there's a part of sort of Christian culture, if you will, and I'm not a big fan of that phrase, mm-hmm. that sort of glorifies not having priorities, sort of the let go and let God type of mentality?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the people who sort of will tell you the parable about storing up the grain, when you start to talk about what your priorities and what your plans are, as if you're not being godly. And do you think that's what keeps some people from setting their priorities, or if it doesn't keep them from doing it, that it becomes a good excuse for not doing it?
Hmm. Well, I'll dive in. I think that's very true. I think there are a lot of people, whether it's philosophy or if it's personality, or part of their little belief system that, why should I set these? I'm going to go where the Holy Spirit directs. Mm. And, you know, I think there's enough principles in Scripture that show us that God is a God of order and discipline, that the principle is pretty heavy, and at least in my heart, because mm-hmm. I guess I used to be one of those people that, you know, I would just do it and keep working and working and working and working. And my priority was to win people to Jesus, and I would do whatever it took. And that was my story. And I put myself in the burnout, because I kept saying, well, if not me, then who's going to do it? And so I really got screwed up, and that's the thing, is I kept saying, well, I know the Spirit wants me to do this. I know God wants me to be ministering over here and ministering over there, and I'm going to wear out, not rust out. You know, and so I was all over the place. So yeah, Wayne, I think you hit something real solid right there, that I do think that there are people out there that mistakenly, and I think really contrary to Scripture, put themselves into that position. Cause I think I was really out of line. I had to repent from it, because I was, and I've really tried to set my clear priorities, and I try to work within those, and I've learned to say no. And I'm a lot healthier for it. Mm-hmm. You know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, my family is healthier because I've learned to say, I'm going to set my priorities, and I'm not going to go just blowing all over. Now, sure, if the Spirit prompts me to do something that's not on my to-do list, am I going to go do it? Yeah. But I'm not going to be blown all over the place like I used to be.
Yeah. I'll tell you where it really hit me. I tell people, I think sometimes God has to slap me upside the head 2 or 3 times before I get the point. But you know, I was doing children's ministry, and I was writing curriculum, and I was teaching, and doing small groups with the kids and coordinating. I loved all that stuff. Love working with those kids. But started to get into this ministry that I felt called to children from divorced homes and parents who had separated. And for a couple years did both, and then really felt called to give up the week in, week out children's ministry to focus on this ministry that I'm doing now. And to me, that was a matter of, if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority.
Yeah. Right?
So it felt like this ministry had to be the priority, even if it meant giving up something good. So what I told people at the time was, I think, you know, at times in your life, you have to give up good things to do God things. But that's about prioritizing.
I was just going to bring up the fact, too, is when you don't have a priority, then you can be involved in so many different things that you're spread so thin that you're really not making an impact in any of those areas. You're just kind of, you know, dipping your toe in and people, you know, maybe muddling the water a little bit, but you're not really making an impact if you don't have a priority.
Yep. So let me ask about, if I could, those priorities. What should those priorities be? And maybe we can approach it this way. I think we sort of, everybody, lots of people sort of accept, and I'm one of them, that sort of God, family, ministry, sort of general priorities. But within those priorities, what are the priorities? What should they be for a children's minister?
Well, I definitely think that when it comes to ministry, so many times, I know for me anyway, sometimes it's so easy to think, okay, well, I've prepped so much this week for a lesson, then that's my time in the Word. Or, you know, I've prayed about these different aspects of this ministry. But I think that when it comes to prioritizing, you have to really keep an eye on, are you really spending time with the Lord, like that personal devotional time with the Lord? And is that separate than your, what you're doing for your ministry? And I know for me, sometimes it's really hard because I'm like, oh, wow, there's not enough hours in the day ever. So that it all boils down to priorities and just prioritizing that. So, yeah.
Well, I'll springboard right off of that then and say, that, yeah, I totally agree that, you know, you got to feed yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, the old adage, put the oxygen mask on first for you, then you can assist other people. I think that's spiritually true. I would say too, then that goes along with that, with keeping, you know, if we're going to say, you know, your family next, is that leading yourself is just as important as leading your family. And so are you taking a Sabbath day? You know, truly, you know, I know I'm guilty of my day off becoming still some church projects on the side day, mixed in with some family stuff. You know, are you giving, you know, to me, some of the Sabbath rest needs to also be with your family and making sure you are taking care of them and that you are ministering to them and leading them, and then leading yourself. Are you making sure you're resting, staying healthy, emotionally, physically, spiritually? I think that's gotta be right there, you know, as a pretty high priority that, you know, if you're feeding yourself from God's word and you're communing with God and worshiping God, and then you start taking your family and yourself seriously, where you're guarding your day off, guarding that Sabbath time off. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge to staying healthy, and keeping your priorities, right.
Yeah.
Wayne, what would you say? I'm going to bounce the question back at you.
And I'm going to artfully dodge it, or maybe not artfully. No, I'm not going to dodge it, but I think as you guys were talking, something struck me in that my priorities, I think your priorities do change over time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sort of obviously your God family ministry, that idea doesn't change. But I think within that, what are your priorities are change. And so I know for me personally, my priorities tend to be the things that I view myself as being weakest at, right? So I make that a priority so I can get it done. And so I think one of the things that causes us, I think, to get discouraged and not continue after our priorities is when we convince ourselves that there's one right way of doing things. And so, you know, you talk about prayer, mm-hmm. and, right? Does prayer mean that I should be, you know, praying for 30 minutes every morning and journaling my prayers and then whatever else the list might be, because somebody else does that and that works for them. Well, I'm not a morning person. It doesn't work, right? And so I know that practically, you know, maybe by some working of the Holy Spirit it would, but practically that doesn't work for me. So that gives me a couple options. One, I can just sort of say, oh, it's just not going to work. I'm going to come up with a different priority. Or you can start to accept that God does prescribe some things that are good for us, right? We should pray. Mm-hmm. We should be in community. But that doesn't have to look for me. I don't want to be careful how I say this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look the same for every individual, because he did make us all unique as well. We are all individuals. So I think it's about within your priorities, figuring out how to accomplish those in a way that's biblical, but that also works with your life, with your personality. I think that's important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I did not answer the question, but
that was very artfully dodging. I mean, you could run for office.
That's one of my spiritual gifts. Dodges and sarcasm.
Yeah, you could run for office by, you know, dodging that good.
I agree with you on that, Wayne, though, because it looks different for every person and how they approach that. So how are some ways that you guys set your priorities? Do you?
I'll start since I sort of led on to one of them. One, I try to prioritize those things that I struggle with, that I know mm-hmm. are my weaknesses, because I want to work on those. Likewise, sort of when you talk about, so those are sort of my long-term priorities. When I talk about day-to-day priorities, and this may have come from Jim Weidman, I don't know, because I steal his stuff all the time anymore because I can't remember how much of it came from him. But somewhere I read that you should do the hardest things on your to-do list first, mm-hmm. right? Because it's easy to put those off and sort of get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent. And so I try to prioritize those things, and I don't claim to be wholly successful at this, but I try to prioritize those things that are hardest and that I want to do the least.
Mm.
That's good. See, for me, I think I look at what my mission and my vision are. And from those, I've tried to set some goals. And from those goals, then I prioritize them as like Wayne, you know, what is the most essential, the most important things that are going to accomplish mm-hmm. reaching my mission and my vision, what's going to carry those things out. And so, you know, and they do change, Wayne. I agree that, you know, there are times where I need to have as a high priority developing other leaders. Other times I need to have a high priority in ministry, working on foundational stuff, structure stuff. And all of those things are important. They're just times where you're going to focus on them differently. So for me, when I'm trying to set my priorities for the, I try to do it weekly, and then I try to have some long-term goals as well, where I'm setting out, you know, okay, what needs to be done this week? What's essential that I've got to have done? And those are my top priorities. Always overriding those things are those big three things and making sure that they don't get out of alignment. When it comes to focusing, if we're just talking ministerial things, I would set them by, you know, what needs to be accomplished to reach my long-term goals that help mm-hmm. me hit my mission and vision.
You know, you said something, Tom, I hadn't quite heard it put that way. I think that's helpful. If we think about sort of God family ministry as an alignment, I like that idea. And then setting priorities within that alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I
probably
know.
Stole that from Jim too.
Yeah, everything may originate with Jim.
Leadership.
Not sure that's biblical, but it could be true.
That's awesome.
He'll make his appearance on the video. So if you're watching the video, there he is. Brother Jim says. So my shout out to him. There we go. All right. So Sarah, how do you set your priorities, Sarah?
Well, when I was thinking priorities, I was thinking more of just my day-to-day priorities because in a week, you know, there's so many different things. Like this door is missing its signs and needs new signs. Who's going to print those, or just those day-to-day things for my ministry. And so just the practical way that I handle that is I make a lot of lists. And I also have some volunteers I have some volunteers that are awesome. All of my volunteers are awesome, but I have a couple that are just very, very invested and help me stay on track. My core team that helps me stay, and they're like, all right, you know, we've got these five things that really need to happen. We can help you with this, but you need to tell us, you know, give them that ownership. And so that all comes back to priorities for me, because I have to go through my list and say, okay, I know that I can't do all of these things, and then delegate those to some other people. So that's what I try and do first. And when I go through my list for the week, is say, all right, what can I delegate? And then what do I really need to take care of? Because if I just start going through the list and say, oh, well, I'm just going to start taking care of these things, it will never get done. And I'll be honest, this week I have a list that never got done this week, but you know, it's on the list for next week. And I'm actually sitting here thinking about those. I was like, oh, I never sent that email. It's Friday night. So, you know, I have an email to send tomorrow morning, just different things like that. And so I have to see it in front of me, though. It's got to be on paper or else it does not get done for me.
Good. Good.
Are you a list person, Tom?
I was just going to say, I was going to ask you the same question. I have learned to become a list person.
Yeah.
I'm a list person.
Yeah.
Good, because I'm questioning you. Because I am a list person.
I was going to say, you're a spreadsheet person.
Yeah. I do spreadsheets too.
My wife makes fun of me because I like to put things on. So if I'm making a list on Saturday morning of things I need to do, if I've done a couple of them, I still go ahead and put them on the list because it's just fun to cross them off.
Yes.
There's great joy in crossing things off of a list.
Okay.
So I am a list person. But what I was curious is, as somebody who, because there are lots of people who are not list people, which, right, because the world would be really sad if everybody were like me. So I guess you say you've taught yourself. What does that look like? What's that process if you're not a list person?
I force myself to, on a regular basis, and I do have to give Brother Jim credit for this because he's the one who inspired me when I was doing Infuse, to really start putting things down, or using an app. I use Todoist. And so, as you know, he always says, our brains are not for remembering, they're for creating. Mm. So I am a very creative person. I'm a very all over the place person. And so if you look at my office, it's always a mess. But it's an organized mess in my world. Anyway, that's another podcast. But I taught myself to just take every day.
That's how I describe my life, by the way, organized mess.
Organized chaos. Yeah,
yes, like yes. What I try to do is every day, first thing, I sit quiet for a few minutes, and which is not easy for me to do, but I put everything down that I think I need to do for the day. Things that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I need to send that email. Oh yeah, I need to make those photocopies for somebody. I need to return these phone calls. And I just throw them all on my Todoist thing. There are days where there are times, I will say, for like long range things, that I do what I call a brain dump day, where I just sit and I'll take like 11 by 17 sheets. Mm-hmm. And I'll list the different categories of ministries and different things, even family stuff and I'll spread them out on a table. And then I'll just look through those and I'll be like, okay, now in November, I want to do this. And I start writing just general months and projects, and I throw it all on paper. And then I go through another, it seems like a tedious step, but it's important to just, then I start prioritizing, okay, what really is important right now? And those get dated deadlines. And then there are other ones that I go, okay, I can definitely delegate this to so-and-so. So I'll write them, you know, write down their name. And that way I know I've got to email them and say, hey, you have a project. And here's the deadline I need it by. So I've taught myself to really try to do that. Now, do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. Not even close. But I'm working hard at it to try to be consistent. I think that's the big key for me, is being consistent with this, to use that app, or to have a list that I write down some things on, and then put it on the phone. So that way it's on my computer, it's on my iPad, it's all around me. So there's no excuses for me to miss something. And that's how I've done it, little by little. I've the other key that I think is having somebody hold me accountable to it. I've asked a couple people in my life to call me periodically, and randomly, and say, how are you doing on staying up on your lists? Because it's not easy for me. I would much rather just keep it all in my head. And as it comes to mind, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And so then I find myself working on a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there. And I don't really accomplish any one thing because I'm nibbling at everything. So it's helped me focus. You know, there are some days I've used that, I don't know what you call it, but use the timer technique. There's a funny name for it.
Yeah. And
I can't think of Pomodoro. That's it. There's a Pomodoro technique where you set a time and say, for this much time, I'm working on this one project.
Like, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes answering email.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so I've done that on, because for me, variety is key. To help me get my things on priority, I got to have some variety, because I can't look at a spread. In fact, I don't even know how to make a spreadsheet. I'll confess that right now.
Call me.
I'm going to need a tutorial from Wayne Stocks.
Wayne's professional.
I don't do Excel.
I couldn't live without it. Well, I could, but
okay. So you two have to teach me then. We're gonna do a podcast on you two teach Tom how to do that.
Probably the most boring podcast ever.
my first thought would be like a Sesame Street where they teach them how to do something.
All right. We better get back to it. Let me ask you guys then. So how do you guys evaluate to make sure you guys are staying on priority? Because I know Jim, and I've heard it from Carl Bastian, I've heard it from a number of other really organized people in my life, that say, if you don't evaluate, you'll never improve. And what you evaluate doesn't, you don't evaluate, will die and get messed up. So how do you guys evaluate to stay on track?
So I'll chime in first on this one. When it comes to staying on track, that's where personal accountability comes in. I know, Tom, you mentioned you've got people that'll call you and ask about your lists and stuff like that. I have, a person who's an amazing volunteer. She and I meet once a week, actually. And she's one of those people that isn't afraid to push you in your leadership, but doesn't step over boundaries, you know, lines and things. And she's the one that's like, all right, you know, what's the priority? What's going on? Where, you know, how's this coming? Have you looked at those notes from last week yet? You know, like asking those questions. And that's good. That's what I need, because I will just, if it doesn't get done, I'll eventually do it. But I need somebody that's going to say, all right, this needs to be a priority, and that has a different perspective too, because I am not in, you know, I don't work check-in and she works check-in. I'm not in certain areas. And so, for me, it's having somebody weekly that helps me evaluate that, because if I did it on my own, it might not get done, honestly. So
go ahead, Wayne.
That external person is important. Mm-hmm. But for yourself, I think we talk about priorities. You need some sort of steps, a plan to get there as well, right? Because it's not always the matter that I've accomplished my priority. You need to. All right, hang on. I'm going to pass to Tom. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. One of the ways that I help keep track, like I said, is finding someone to hold me accountable, setting deadlines.
That's a good one.
To say, okay, in fact, I even have one of these coming up where I'm going to take a day off, and the whole purpose of that is to do that brain dumping thing. And to look back and say, okay, now, am I still on priority? Have I gotten sidetracked with pet projects, with other things? You know, have I had one of those squirrel moments? You know what I mean? and to say, okay, I'm going to step back. And there are some people that say, you know, every Friday before you leave the office, you should look back at your week and say, okay, what didn't I get done that needs to get done? And then set those as new priorities for the next week. And so that way you're evaluating. And so I guess, you know, how do you evaluate? You do it all the time. You need to really continually check yourself, check your lists, you know, always look at that to-do list and go, do these fit my priorities? And I think if you do that, you have less that. And then, you know, the other thing that we haven't talked about is your calendar. I think looking and evaluating your calendar and how, if you do a time study of yourself and you track what you're doing by your calendar, that's going to tell you if you're on priority or not.
So I set up that practical application to show you that I needed to prioritize letting my wife in the house who'd locked herself out over this ministry podcast.
All right. Nothing like live podcast recording.
I missed that. I know you guys
handled that well, Wayne. Very
thank
good,
you.
Good choices.
So I'll go back if I could, to my earlier question about priorities. Because I want to talk specifically about children's ministry. So how do we prioritize what are the most important things we want kids to learn before they're out of our ministry? How do we prioritize that?
Good turn. Honestly, I think it starts with, again, I'm going to go to jump all the way to your mission and vision. And then out of that mission and vision, you should have an idea of what your end goal, what you want that kid to look like. What do you want them to think, say, and do when they leave your ministry? So, you know, for some people, it's, I want them to know all 66 books of the Bible and whatever theme of it is, you know. They want to go that far. Other people, it's, I want them to love God and love others. I don't know if I could necessarily say there's a top three or four that every kid should have, but I think every kid ministry team, every parent needs to say, what's that end goal? And what do I want to see that kid think, say, and do by the time they leave my influence?
I think that's a really good, as you were talking, Tom, I was thinking also about, and kind of just spin off of what Wayne was just talking about. I think it's important for our teams to also know what our priorities are, what we value. Our church actually just went through a couple of months ago. We went through maybe four staff meetings and we talked about what we really value as a church. And then we came up with statements for that. And that can, you know, you can do that with your team. And also that can flow down into your children's ministry so that those kids, you know, whether you post them on the walls, or I know there are certain curriculums that do this, you know, that have, I know Orange is one that has straight up, it lists all the, this is what we want a child to learn when they walk out of the the preschool class or whatever. But I think that those priorities in your ministry translate into goals that your team needs to know. And hopefully that rabbit trail made sense there. A little squirrel moment there. but yeah, that was just, as you were talking, I thought about that and having those visual things. That was one of the things that came up at a meeting this past week. My team was like, hey, we need visuals. We need to see this because we don't know what the vision is. And we need that so we can prioritize how we work with the kids. So.
Not my wife's, my dog's barking. Hey, I want to push back a little bit. Tom, you said sort of you couldn't come up with sort of the priorities of what every kid should learn because that's going to vary somewhat based on your circumstances and that sort of thing. I agree with that, at least in part. But there've got to be some sort of universal things that we think kids should know by the time they get out of children's ministry. So to go against sort of the grain of this entire podcast, let's not prioritize them. But if you could pick one or two that would be in that top 10, let's say, what would they be?
Ooh, that's a really good one. That's a great question. I guess off the top of my head and really what I've always thought is obviously, I think it's important for kids to know, where they stand with God. So who they are, who God made them to be, so that they can deal with their sinfulness and then also to then look at what Christ has done. So obviously I want them to come to the salvation area of their life and go, okay, I understand. I know what God's plan is when it comes to calling me to be one of his children, and accepting him into my life. So I want them to know that. I think that's huge. And then I think it's the second step really go it. I really feel like it goes back to, you know, the Great Commission, Great Commandment, loving God and loving each other. And so I want those kids to know how they can deepen their own faith, feed themselves, and that it's their responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not their small group leader's responsibility. It's their responsibility to dig into God's word on their own and digest it, wrestle with it, struggle with it. So I want them to know that they need to fall in love with God, and that's ultimately more important than anything else they do in life. And then living it out, loving others, I think is huge. That I want kids to know how to practically love each other, and to love those that are even hard to love. And so I really think if I can help a kid come through and know how to start a relationship with God, then know how to take it into a deeper level and then use that love of God out in the rest of the world, I think I've accomplished quite a bit.
So Tom, you're just talking about different, things kids are learning, or you feel like they, you know, like you want them to learn in kids ministry. What are some different ways that priorities fit in with that? I know we didn't prioritize that list, but how would you teach kids or help families to prioritize their relationship with the Lord or their time together as a family? Yeah. What are some ways that you would, some practical ways that you would do that?
Yeah. Well, I'd go back to starting out with what's helping them figure out what's their family mission statement. I think every family can have a mission statement of what do they want with their life? Where do they believe is important? And so I start there with what's their mission? What's their vision as a family? And then I take them to their calendar and say, okay, what's your calendar show about where your priorities lie? How many weekends are you gone from the church versus in the church? What's occupying most of your time? how often do you as families spend time talking about anything spiritual outside of Sunday? And then from there, going to the parents is saying, you know, what do you want your child to become? What do you want them to know by the time they reach age 18 or 20 and they start moving out from under your care? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to think? Helping parents think through those things of how they can help their own kids do that, to me, then helps align that what's most important. Is it really important that your kid's involved in gymnastics and soccer and baseball and dance and band? Or can we eliminate some of those things and so that it gives us more time together as a family? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. So I think it starts with mission and vision, your end goal. And once you know those things, then you can go from there.
Yeah. Clearly you can eliminate all of those except soccer because it's a great sport. I think that last thing is key because I think if you go to a parent and say, hey, what are your priorities? Mm-hmm. There's a good chance in the hustle and bustle of these days that they've never sat down and thought about it in those terms. But if you go to a parent and say, what do you want for your child? You know, what do you want them to look like? What do you want them to value when they're out of your house? You know, when they're no longer under your care.
That's a good one.
Most parents have thought about that, at least to some extent. Or they can come up with a list. And, you know, you might get the sort of, you know, the American list, right? I want them to be successful and have a good job and go to college. And then I think that starts the conversation, right? How does your list line up with what you spiritually want for them? And then now we know what you want. Those are your priorities. What can we do? How can we as the church help you to reach those goals?
That's good.
That's really good. I think priorities, I mean, I think we could take this so many different places, especially when you start mentioning all those different extracurricular activities that families take part in. So I don't want to get too off track there, but I think that you're giving this great ideas for a family night, actually, you know, like for a kids ministry family night. We do those quite a bit where we'll have a fun activity night, but I think it would be really fun to get a group and you get families together and do kind of a guided discussion that they can have together as a family, but that still they've got resources and some backup and talk about priorities in their and goals and with their family.
Ooh, I like that idea. If you do that, you got to come back and tell us about it.
I will. I know.
That's
I
got
like
me thinking. Too, we may have to talk offline about doing something like that because we're going to work on some things that we can do this winter, and that might be a really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good winter one, definitely, especially coming up with the new year. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That would be a good one to kick. Just do it just before the new year, so that it kicks it off. Awesome. Well, guys, as we get ready to wrap up this episode, one of the things that we like to wrap up with is, you know, what are you reading right now? Sarah, what are you reading right now that has influenced you?
I have been working my way through The Catalyst Leader. It's 8 Essentials for Becoming a Change Maker by Brad Lominick. There we go. Said it right. And it's been an interesting book. It's a really easy read, and there's a lot of quotable things in it. He is the guy that's led Catalyst, which, you know, is a pretty big group out there. But there's the 8 essentials that he goes over in the book. There it's calling, authenticity, passion, capable, courageous, principled, hopeful, and collaborative. And then he just kind of goes over those eight things that he feels are essential. And it's been good. I've about halfway through right now, but so far it's been a really great read.
Awesome. Wayne, what are you reading?
Well, the one I started reading a little while back, I need to get back to. It's called Crucial Conversations. And I can't remember who turned me on to this book, but it's basically, it was a study that was done, I think in office places, of people who had difficult conversations and who did those successfully and who didn't do them successfully. And generally, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm only a chapter in, so I'm probably get this wrong, but generally a successful conversation was one where, you know, people walked away and there weren't sort of the hurt feelings and whatnot. So they dealt with a difficult situation in a productive way. And so it's an interesting book in that they go through these good examples of how to deal with difficult conversations, which obviously can help in many aspects of life. And then the other one, just for you know, pleasure reading, I'm reading through Calvin's Institutes as well.
Pleasure reading. I love that. I love that. Yeah. I have a couple different books that I'm recommending, and this one just reminded me that I have this buried on my pile on my desk. So I just pulled that out because it fits with what we're talking about, called Eat That Frog. Great title. But it's 21 great ways to stop procrastinating and get more done in less time. It's Brian Tracy.
Have you read it yet?
No, I am putting it off. I haven't eaten the frog yet.
There you go. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. I don't know.
You should write that on your list there, Tom.
But yes, it is on my book reading list. Because as I hear about different books, I add them to my book list and
I have heard good things about that book. I've never read it though, so I'm curious when you're done with it to hear how it is.
Well, I will try to do a review on my blog for that one. Then I actually just got this in my hands today. But it's a book by Rob Shepherd, and it's called Even If You Were Perfect, Someone Would Crucify You. And the subtitle is Stop Trying to Please People, Start Pleasing God. I thought, wow, that's got to be good for priorities. I've never heard of Rob Shepherd, but I think if the book's as good as it looks, I'll probably have to get him on the podcast so we can talk to him about being a people pleaser. Because I think a lot of people in ministry have that as a spiritual gift. And so I think we could work on it. The last book that I highly recommend. I've got a couple chapters into this. I've been actually listening to the audiobook, Living Forward by Michael Hyatt. And it's about setting a life plan and living by priority. And so far the first couple chapters have been very, very challenging. It's one of those where, for me, I stop and I read, and then I have to process it for a while and put it down for a while and then come back to it. And so it's supposed to be a rainy weekend, so I plan on doing some in-depth reading while I'm working on that. So, well, hey, guys, thanks for joining me on this podcast. Why don't you give your contact info in case anybody has any questions or wants to touch base with you or follow you online. Sarah?
So on my Twitter name should be right there underneath my name in front of my face. So you can look there, or my blog is just sarahannbundy.com. So you can check that out too, or Facebook.
And Wayne.
Yeah. Mine's there as well. The website is divorceministry4kids.com. You can find me there. On Twitter, I'm at Stocks Ohio. My personal blog is waynestocks.com. That's got most of my contact information on it.
All right, cool. And I'm Tom Bump, and mine's PT Bump on Twitter and ptbump.com for the blog. And also Kids Ministry Collective has a Facebook group. We'd love to have you join that group. We have one little personal request, and that's if you've enjoyed this podcast, would you go to iTunes, and hopefully if you've downloaded it from there anyway, and just hit the subscribe button. The more subscribers we get, the better our podcast will do, and we want more and more kid ministry people to hear about our podcast, and so you can help us by doing that. And if you would be so kind to leave us a good review or a little review, positive or negative, it'll be a good.
No, if you don't like it, don't review it. I'll ask.
Yeah, if you don't like it, just go to Nick Blevins and say you didn't like his. No, just kidding, Nick. I love
it. Send Tom an email if you don't like it. He reads them all. But if you do, go to iTunes, leave a review.
There we go. There we go. So thanks again. And we're looking forward to another podcast where, again, the Kids Ministry Collective, our goal and our priority is, as we say, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's our goal, is to help you sharpen your skills as a kid ministry leader. And so we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.